Blog Talk Radio.
Okay,
that's what's up. That's what's up. I ain't even gonna lie to you. I laid and chilled most of the weekend, for real. All I could, okay. I did. All that they would let me have, I took advantage of. I'm serious, girl. Hey, look, and it felt so good. It felt so good, you know?
Yeah. Let's put some feet up in the air and just relax.
You know, girl, it was calling me too. You know, I needed that breakdown, that relaxation, you know. I was kind of, I don't want to use the word upset because I really wasn't upset about it, but I was wanting more football, man. You know, them Cowbombs and them Steelers just wasn't enough for me, you know? And we're going to go into it a little bit further later on in the show. But, you know, T, if you ready to say, Kel, you was right, you go ahead, prep your mouth to say that. Yeah, I got back. I told Debo, I said, watch T. He going to hold on to this zone until the last minute, last minute second. He going to hold on to this zone. But I don't find, because you know I do the same thing.
I was about to say, you would do the same thing.
Hey, look, same thing, same way, and in that exact order. So, you know.
Yeah.
I can only say but so much. And, you know, I'm going to let you, I know you. And I know when you're gonna go ahead, tap in, tap out, and say, yeah, Kel, you was right. And that's all I'm waiting for. You know,
okay.
Tap out. We're gonna discuss this today on Kel's Corner. Excuse me for being ignorant. Today on Kel's Corner, we will be discussing the Olympics, the closing games. Kevin Durant, who to me in my book, man, dude, the baddest ball player. You know, I understand Giannis won the NBA Finals and all of that, but for real, all around ball player. If only Durant would give some defense out there, you know. His game would be complete, but I'm not going to get into all that. That's for we actually going to the segment. But we got to give Durant his props for his record-setting performance. We're going to talk about the ending ceremony of the Olympics as the games came to a close. The summer games have come to a close. The NFL Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Peace, I got so many angles I want to come at this thing on. Seriously. I want to talk about the players. First, I must give a congratulations to all of the players who actually made it, all of the players who were voted in. You know, I don't want to take away from their shine at all, you know, and I want to congratulate those and give those guys their flowers while they are lit, you know, Dmitri, I believe in that. Even if it's a cowboy, one thing about it, when they retire, it's not about who they played for. It's about all they gave to the game that they were playing or the game that we love.
Absolutely.
So I can see a Jimmy Johnson, a Troy Aikman, and all of these people being voted in. But my stance is more about these players who are being ignored, man. About these players who are being snubbed and left out. And I for one thought that it was genuinely about the guys who performed top in their field, guys who were elite of their constituents, I'll say, on the football field. And it just, I'm going to get into that when we actually go down that road. We're going to talk about some of these upcoming preseason games. T.
Yes.
You with me, baby?
Oh, absolutely. I'm here.
All right. I was thinking we could start off like we left off last year, where you write who against who versus who, and we make our pick. It's only preseason and the games don't matter, but just to get ourselves back acclimated to how we had it, because I tell you, I've been a part of many pick'em shows. And the way we did it was the best, the absolute hands-down best. So I want to come back into this season with that same energy, being the best at it. I really appreciate the way we did it last season. So we're going to have Thursday's show. So we're going to have that ready, and we are asking that you all be ready come Thursday, because week two really, but it'll be week one for the majority of the NFL. So we'll call it week one preseason pick. Our preseason
and
pick.
To add on to what you was already saying, we made a bet. So if y'all can find some way to get Kale y'all $20, whoever is participating in the bet, one person, whoever get closest to what they pick, and the people that participated was me, Kale, Tang, Big Boy, Marcus, Debo, 57, and Kirby. I don't know, what Ted or Lou was at on that day. But we can add them if they want to be added. And we need to find some type of way to either get it to me or get it to Kale, and whoever don't want to participate, it's fine. You just can't win. Even if you win, you can't win the money. It goes to the next person, whoever paid to play. So that's how we're gonna do that.
Right. So you guys, Debo, Lou, I need you to let me know if you want to be a part of it. You can cash out. You guys can cash out either myself or Teresa. When we get to that segment, we'll give out those cash apps. So be ready to write it down so you'll know who to send your donation to. so we can make sure that the money goes to the individual that actually wants. All right?
Exactly. Yes.
Sound good. It sounds good to me. All right, y'all. So we're gonna take a quick break, and I don't know why, Tree, but this song just like it's just what I want to hit right now. 563-999-7825-63-999-378.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, dark say goodnight, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying how do you do. They're really saying I love you. I hear babies cry.
All right, y'all, I'm back. I'm feeling that song, you know, What a Wonderful World. And y'all know I like to tie my songs into my talk, okay? This Olympics was the world versus the world to me. China, Germany, Yugoslavia, Argentina, the United States. It was country versus country, world versus world. And I tell you, it was a beautiful thing. It really and truly was. The United States, as we all know, topped out in the medal count. I think it was something like 39 gold medals, 36 silver medals, and around 20-something bronze medals.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, it was, and not just because we won or we led or we dominated. It was good to see, you know, the world interact with one another again. You know, after this COVID thing has been what it has been to everybody, to have people interacting and just having fun was a great experience to partake in. And you know, I was watching, believe it or not, oh, goodness, what was that sport I was watching? It's like soccer, but it's indoor, and they were using their handball. And I was like, you know, I can't believe I'm watching this, you know?
It was fun. It was exciting, though.
Yes, it was. I really must say it was exciting, you know? Thought that, you know, as I was scrolling through my TV guide, and I saw handball, USA versus Germany. And I was like, you know, man, I bet you that's stupid as all know what. But when I turned it on and actually started watching it, I actually got hooked on what was the action, what was going on, you know. And to be honest, you know, the MVKO, y'all know I keep it 100 with y'all. I never knew that this was a real sport. I thought it was just, you know, I thought it was just something they played on the streets of L.A. and, you know, an imaginary game that they played in prison, you know. But this is an actual sport. It is an actual event, and I'm telling you, I enjoyed every moment of it. I mean, to the point where it got comical to me, you know, to watch these guys play soccer with their hands indoor on something like a basketball court, if you can follow me. Soccer indoors with their hands on something like a basketball court. Hey, man, I'm telling you, that thing was something amazing. Did you get a chance to peep that at all, T?
Oh, yeah, I watched it. I didn't really understand the rules and where people can be at. And you know, you had to watch it a little bit to try to get a feel for it. But it was exciting to me to see how they was, you know, nonstop moving. It was almost like soccer, for real. But it was a lot with the little ball that they had in their hand. And the ball was so small.
And you know what? I'm going to say that beyond the ladies' basketball team, congratulations, ladies, and
yes,
the men's basketball team, I believe that this handball will be one of my most remembered events from this summer, 2021 Summer Olympics. What about you, Lou? Oh, I'm sorry.
Not
go ahead,
He could.
Okay, not much for handball, but, you know, it might be a, you know, more of a sport to watch in the future. I just didn't get into it that much. But the Olympics, you know, were incredible this year. You know, we have more gold medals than ever. It's just a shame that not many people were into it as in years past, and I don't know why. I mean, you know, we came in, we did the job, and, you know, I thought, you know, we'd be more happier about it. You know, 5 years later was a long wait, and it kind of got like a – it's like nobody even really was interested this time, though. I mean, the coverage, though, wasn't that great. I mean, you know, most of it was on tape and whatnot, so that probably ruined it, too. But, you know, I enjoyed it for the most part.
Yeah. And, you know, I've heard other people make that same comment as far as, you know, the events being taped. And, you know, well, we got to realize, you know, these games weren't played in the United States, and even if they were, we still have a difference in East Coast and West Coast time. So, I mean,
I think they were trying to fit everything in.
Exactly. They were just trying to fit everything in and give everybody an opportunity to be a part of it all. And I watched all of it. Yeah.
Every time it came on, I was on it. But let me say, for me, my most memorable was the women's basketball WNBA,
yeah,
because this is seventh time in a row they didn't won gold. Seventh time. Five with Sue Bird and Taurasi. They did it, you know, back to back for 5 years, and I don't think they're coming back. But I know Sue Bird's not coming back. But that's been 20 years they've been, you know, playing together. 20 years. They've been dominant in that one sport, 20 years. And they don't get nowhere near the credit that they should get. Seven times straight, man, ain't nobody else did it. Ain't nobody else did it, man. No other man did it.
Well, I'm
There's
telling
two
you
women.
Like this. First, slow down, Tree. pull the reins back a little bit. You know what I mean?
That was my most memorable. Women, that's all. I was just a little excited and happy for them. That's all.
Yeah, and that's cool. That's cool, and I can appreciate that. You know, but we also have to remember the women's game, and no matter what it is, it never garnishes the attention that the men's game does. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that that is right at all.
Oh,
that's
I know you now.
How it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we definitely can agree to agree on that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and who knows? Maybe now, when this word gets out that, you know, these women have won 7 times in a row, it'll bring a little bit more attention around to their game. And as I was saying, you know, women are kind of what word do I want to use? Bursting out in the scene. You say what?
No, I was saying, what you say?
Women are kind of bursting on the scene now, you know, from the sidelines and reporting to actually being in the field or court of play. The request for women to be out there is greater than it's been in the past. So I look at this female Olympic team, and I say sooner or later, the need to see them will be just as great, if not greater, than with the men, because the men are really turning a lot of people off because people are expressing the desire to watch real basketball, which the men aren't doing.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Now, as long as we got KD doing his thing, you know, and congratulations. Mm-hmm. Congratulations to KD. Oh, man.
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
That brother, you know, we were all worried. Well, I'm not going to put words in anybody else's mouth.
I was worried.
I was worried about this USA team because it almost seemed as if they didn't have the desire that they were playing. But I realized that those were just exhibition type games. They weren't for the goal. Because when it came down to games actually for the goal, this men's team stood up.
Yeah,
they
locked
stood
in.
Up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they showed up and showed out. You know, so congratulations to the whole team. You know, not just Kevin Durant and you know, but the whole team. You know, yeah. Yes. I can never express the gratitude, the appreciation that those young men, when they put their heads together and represented this country that I live in, it was a great showing. It was a great. Let's see. We're gonna go to Big Boy. What's up, Big Boy?
What's up, Big Boy?
Hey, what's up, Mikhail's Porter?
What's going on?
Hey, look, I'm excited. I'm like a, you know, how a kid be waiting for a Christmas morning to come. Hey, look, they gave us 4 cases in football last week with that Hall of Fame game. I'm not gonna harp on that too much. It was what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking forward to seeing. From football, Thursday. You know what I'm saying? Look, I'm just eagerly anticipating the kickoff. That's all.
Right.
That's how I'm feeling in the next year.
Yeah, you and I both. That first quarter, you know, I can't wait to watch that first quarter because we all know that's mainly the quarter. But we don't know, again, we don't know exactly how it's going to go down because of COVID. You know what I mean?
Right.
we don't know how people will be played and time will be given and all of that. So we just stay tuned. That's all. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
You know?
Stay prayed up.
Hey, look, man. I'm carrying this the way I carry everything else during this time. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. If it's not going to happen, I see it later, you know, when it do go down. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This COVID thing got things kind of, you know, twisted and everything, but, hey, look, it might slow the show down or change the time, but it ain't going to stop it.
No.
And the damn show ain't going to stop Kale's Corner. You know what I'm talking about?
No, sir.
We moving forward over this, y'all. On the real.
Yeah,
But did you check any of the Olympics out, big boy? Get a chance to watch any of that?
The last event that I watched with the Olympics was that it was the women. I can't remember if it was 1600 the women were running. And that fast young lady from Somalia, well, she was of Somalian heritage, but she ran for the U.S.
Right.
I think she's from the area, too. She's a local girl.
Okay.
Folks out there, you know, I didn't really get into it like I wanted to, but that's the last event I was able to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So would you say that was your most memorable experience with this year's Olympics? That's right.
The most memorable experience was watching how Simone Biles bounced back, and you know, she did something that some of them athletes need to think about. Look, I gotta take care of me. The sport is gonna be here. I gotta take care of me. She took care of herself and then came back and handled business. So I think that would be one of the most memorable aspects of the Olympics for this year.
Yeah. And you know, to touch on that a little bit, if that whole situation didn't teach me anything, it finally got a point across that Treece has been trying to drive home with me, and that is wait to report on something. Don't just say, you know, the first thing that comes to your mind the first time you hear of a situation. Let a little bit of reporting go on and find out what is what. Unfortunately, in this broadcasting business, we have to give our opinion. We have to talk about certain things, but The whole Simone Biles situation has taught me to find out all that I can, find out everything involving that situation. Because I, to be honest, I was one of the ones in the beginning that was like, you know, I guess because I live in the regular world where your mental isn't as appreciated or valued as it is in that sports world. You know, I can't, for example, I can't go to my job. I can go to my job, you know, when I think about it and tell them, you know, I'm not in it right now. I'm not feeling this. I need a day or two to recoup. And the first thing they'll say to me is, well, do you want your job? Are we supposed to hold this job for you? You know, I won't be given the same circumstances or situation that Simone was getting. So, you know, sometimes it's hard for us in the regular world to think how things are going in that sports world. And that was a lesson that I took from that. What's up, 57?
I'm your Huckleberry, baby. What's up, sis? Not much. Just chilling like a villain.
Mm-mm.
Okay. I
missed the beginning, so I don't know what the question was.
Well,
it sounded like y'all were talking about
the Olympics in general. Just the Olympics in general, and what was your biggest takeaway from the games itself?
You know, I really don't have any one particular moment in the Olympics that I say stand out to me. If I say the most inspired moments, I think during the game came from watching the women participate for real. That's for me.
Yeah.
And that's for me. You know, watching the women participate and watching the enthusiasm and how they really went after the sport. How, you know, it was not like watching a professional basketball game where, you know, these guys know they sometimes are going through the motions. It just felt like the women were putting more into it, more enthusiasm. And I enjoyed most of their events better than I enjoyed what the men did.
That's another vote for the women. You know what I'm saying? What I just tell you, Tree, you know, is going to, because, I mean, people who are pure of the sport, like 57 just said, you know, sometimes you wonder if the men are giving the 100% effort that you're so used to seeing. Sometimes, you know, you wonder to yourself, you know, these dudes bulljobbing. These dudes ain't really playing like they supposed to. And man, you know, why am I wasting my time watching it? You know? And it gets to a point where you have such a craving. I know this on my own on my own behalf. Sometimes the men's basketball game, it turns me so bad that I'll watch the women just to see pure basketball fundamentals. You guys understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
It ain't about high flying and who can dunk over who, and you know who can, you know, dribble the best and who can shoot from damn near on the other side of the court and you know the big man in the woman's game, she actually plays in the paint. She actually rebounds. She actually posts up and protects the rim. Whereas though in the men's game, we got the big man backing up and shooting three.
The piston contest.
Yeah.
See who can piston the furthest.
You know, and that to me is destroying the game. That is taking away so much from the game that it's like, you know, we have to look for what we love in another manner of the sport. Watch the female game.
Yes.
You know, we watch the female game. Hell, I'm not going to lie to you. As a coach of Little League football, I loved. My lady used to say to me, Reach used to say to me, boy, you act like you watching Washington play Dallas. I'm watching kids that I love and want to see do good perform the skill set that I taught them.
Right.
You know, and I would get so caught up in it. I'm telling you, I would sit there, and the next thing you know, we've been out on the field from 7, 8 in the morning, and here it is, 5:36, going on 7 in the evening, and we still haven't left the field. And I'm enjoying this as if it was the first game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I mean, when you're a purist, when you are a person who really enjoys the sport, the activity of the sport, the performance of the sport, you don't care who is performing. You're going to watch.
Yeah.
You're going to watch.
True.
Can
I say something, Cam? Now, I know I'm getting all a little off topic, but I like the fact that you mentioned the purists of the game and you mentioned the little league. And the reason why I bring that up is, to me personally, the next month should be some of the purest baseball you want to see because the Little League World Series. And when I say pure, I like the excitement of it. I like the fact that these guys are not getting paid. They're just in it for the love of the game. And when you can still find it played like that, it really doesn't matter who wins or loses. When you can find with that enthusiasm and that drive and they just want to play, that's why I love the game like that.
But you know what, 57, I agree with you 100%, but the adults, and this is more in any televised Little League event, that adult influence is so visible, man. I mean, they're bringing in kids who are too old to play and shouldn't be allowed to play. They're lying and saying that they're the right age to play. I mean, I understand what you're saying, and when as the game gets to going and you're watching the game, all of that is off your mind, and you don't think of any of that whatsoever. But
the moment the game
goes off, we're hearing about, oh, this one shouldn't have played, or that one shouldn't have played, or you know, it's just the adult hand on the Little League sport that just sickens me. It sickens me to no end.
You got adults running the Little League just like you got adults running, you know, the major sports in the world. Every sport to me has some type of illegitimacy to it, you know, something that's not being done correctly or only being done for the money. So if I was to take a couple of things and say I'm not going to watch that sport no more because they did this, then I wouldn't be able to watch anything on TV, sports-wise, because they all corrupt at a certain degree.
Right. I don't understand.
The world's corrupt.
I can, but it just, it hurt my heart when I was actually watching the Little League World Series, and then on ESPN, not even an hour after the game, they're talking about who was cheating and how they were cheating. Mm-hmm. I was like, can we get any sport?
Is this a sport?
It's about the kids. You know, real quick, that kind of is what turned me off, or one of the things that turned me off to coaching Lily, you know, because it was just what are y'all doing? You know what I'm saying? Coaches putting, you know, because you got a girl in there, you expect me to accept the fact that she's in there older than everybody else. No, you can't do that, dog. But it's just a female. You telling me that your boys can't play against females not older than them? No, they can't. And they shouldn't have to. And they should not have to. And I got some hitters on my squad, dog. I don't know if you want that little young girl going up against these dudes and on the real, you know. And I wouldn't feel right as a man. Forget the coaching factor. I wouldn't feel right as a man running them boys tee off on that little girl, man, and she ends up seriously injured. I'm talking about ambulance having to come to the field injured. Nah, man. Nah. We're not going to play that game. We're not going to play that game. But that is another aspect of the game where man is taking over and nobody is following the sport itself. Nobody is wanting to keep it pure, man. Keep it pure. You know, keep it at its essence of why you fell in love with it. Not to mention, and I'm gonna say this and I'm gonna get off of y'all, but we have touched one of my points. You're taking the love away. That child that feels cheated, that child that feels like you didn't do it the right way.
Yeah.
Oh man, you're taking his love away, man. You're taking his love away from the game. Before he even gets
that's
the chance to develop. You say, well, Lou?
That's the problem. They're taking away the love of it.
Lou.
You know,
what's up, Lou?
Yes, I'm here.
I'm sorry, Lou. I just hadn't talked to you since Thursday last week, man. I just had to call your name.
Right. Thank you.
But, you know, they are taking the love out of the game.
Yeah. They really are. They really are. And it's a shame that you're not allowing that kid. I remember my first Little League game. I mean official Little League game. Not when we stuffed the T-shirt in our shoulders to make shoulder pads. I mean, an actual game. And the love, my brother and I, the love that we gained from the game. I mean, it was football this, football that, football this, football that. Can't he just, we got to work out. We got practice, you know what I mean? And it was just such an excitement and an enthusiasm that we just couldn't, you know, it was unmatched. It was unmatched. And for that, the essence of that, to be taken away from these children. I mean, it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy.
Yeah.
563-999-3782 is the number. 563-999-3782. When we come back, we're going to discuss this Hall of Fame, man, because I got a bone to chew with it.
Yeah.
All right.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Who have ended up in the Hall of Fame. Hats off, high fives, attaboys, all the awards that we can give them. Now I'm going to say this. The way that certain players are acknowledged and certain players haven't been acknowledged who have been retired for 5+ years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we all know DMV Kale. My heart goes with Washington. My heart goes with Washington. And I posted this right after the ceremony on Saturday. Saturday night. The fact that Brian Mitchell, Gary Clark are not in the Hall of Fame, and you bring Calvin Johnson. I don't even remember Detroit being in a playoff game. Were they? I mean, did I miss it? But you put Calvin Johnson in the Hall of Fame? And I don't mean to shame the man's career, but what the hell has Calvin Johnson done that's so much better than everybody else before him? Put his stats up against Gary Clark.
Right.
Please do that for me, Tree. Look up Calvin Johnson's stat for me. I'm going to take a couple of calls on this. And we're going to find out exactly how many people feel the same as I do. Lou, you up first. What do you think of this Hall of Fame?
Repeat that. I didn't hear that.
What do you feel about this Hall of Fame? Treat, I just wanted you to look up
Hall of Fame.
Calvin Johnson's stat.
How did he get in the Hall of Fame anyway?
You what?
You said Calvin Johnson and who?
And Gary Clark.
Okay.
Gary Clark.
Let's do it first. Yes, sir.
There's something wrong with that. Did Art Monk make the Hall of Fame yet?
Yeah.
No.
That was the only injustice I thought the Hall had made so far was not put.
Yeah.
But I didn't know when they put him in because I thought Art Monk was a great receiver for the Washington football team. And when they let him go, I thought that was a bad move because he was such a great player. I thought they should have held. That's one of the players for the Washington football team that I really, really liked. I really liked Art Monk.
I have to agree with that.
Yeah, okay. But you arguing for that dickhead Brian Mitchell.
That's
Brian Mitchell.
Why?
Mitchell. Look at that dickhead bum.
No, you cannot.
No, I'm just joking with you, Kale. I'm just joking with you because I'm trying to get you going. Yeah, I'm trying to get you going, but no. Brian Mitchell was a great player.
And his record wasn't broken. His record wasn't broken until Devin Hester. That was more than a decade after this man retired. His record stood. How in the hell is he not in the Hall of Fame?
But, Kale, Mike Nims was a better punt returner than Brian Mitchell was.
Yeah.
And that might be one of the reasons why he didn't make it.
But Brian Mitchell was a quarterback, too.
But he didn't he only played quarterback in the NFL if they needed him on a spot. Just because he had the title don't mean he should get credit for it just because he could do it. If he didn't do it, then he can't get credit for it.
At the same time, 57, I've heard players who didn't play certain positions were key in one position, and they named every position that they were labeled under. So that's unfair.
Brian Mitchell was – Brian Mitchell was primarily a kick returner for the Washington football team, and Mike Nims was a better kick returner than Brian Mitchell was.
Yeah.
And both of those guys played for you.
I'm going to say this.
He was a better football player.
Exactly.
I mean,
Brian
on the same time, man, you looking
I'm
for
not denying that.
That player, you're looking for what makes that player stand out. If that player can help you in three different positions, he's a better football player. You're saying
that's true.
He was a better returner. He was a better returner. But look, that's the only place he can help you. You talking about Brian Mitchell jump in the backfield and help you at running back? And when you want to do a little trickery, he can throw the ball too? And then he returns a hell of a good game.
And
he's a better all-around player.
I'm going to say this. The play that we watch all the time in today's game, where, like Big Boy said, a running back will take the ball and throw the pass to a wide receiver. Brian Mitchell started that. He started that because he was.
I don't think Brian Mitchell started it. I can't say who started it, but I don't think it was Brian Mitchell. They were doing that a lot before Brian Mitchell got to the Washington football team. I'm not saying he didn't, man. I'm not arguing with y'all about nothing about Brian Mitchell other than.
No argument. I'm just saying.
We ain't arguing anyway.
He may not have started it, but he damn sure elevated that joint.
Oh, yeah. Hey,
made it relevant again. He brought that trend back around. I think that's what Kale's saying. He brought that trend back around.
I agree with Kale. Yeah. Brian Mitchell was a great player. But what I'm saying, Debo, is that in order for you're going into the Hall of Fame. I'm sorry, Big Boy. I apologize, Big Boy. I know Brian Mitchell could play quarterback. He could do all those things. But how many times did he play quarterback in the NFL? His primary position in the NFL was cornerback? Was it cornerback or safety?
Kick
return and punt return. I'm sorry. My bad. Kick return and punt returner. And Mike Nims in that position was better than Brian Mitchell. And Mike Nims is not in the Hall of Fame yet. That's all I'm saying.
You don't end up into the Hall of Fame by position.
You got to play a position, though. And Brian, position is what gets you into the Hall of Fame. It doesn't matter if you can play 100 positions. The position that you played is what gets you into the Hall of Fame. Look it up and find out how many guys came out there and played ball like the guy with New Orleans that can play quarterback, wide receiver, running back if they need him to. Look it up and see how many of them are in the Hall of Fame.
But see, that's why they got positions in the Hall of Fame that ain't even on the field. So it's not about a position. It's about the achievements.
You say they got what? They got positions
got
that are not
GM,
in the Hall of
Fame. You got GMs in the Hall of Fame. You got other office positions that made the Hall of Fame. What I'm saying is it's not about a position. It's all about achievements. What you have
those
done.
People,
and if you
look
at the
scouts,
body of work, if you look at the body, let me finish. If you look at the body of work, if you look at the body of work, then there's no way that you can put somebody who's of a singular purpose up against somebody who serves several purposes.
Well, how we think it should be, and how it is two different things.
Hold on 1 minute. Treese, are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead, run them down.
Well, Gary Clark, his rushing average was about 15.4, between 800 and 1,300 every year for the last, he did 10 years. with you guys, mm-hmm. and those were his averages. And Calvin Johnson is I thought I had to pull it up. Wait a minute. I'm sorry, y'all. Okay, Calvin Johnson is 731 receiving yards, 11,600 yards, 83 touchdowns, and 15.9 is his average. So they're around the same, but besides the touchdowns.
And let's not forget this. Calvin Johnson was used primarily as a deep ball receiver. Gary Clark played on every dimension of close, intermediate, and the deep ball. Whatever the Washington football team needed him, wherever we needed him at, that's where he played at. Calvin Johnson was only now was he a good deep ball receiver? Heck yeah. He was one of the best. I will never, ever say that man wasn't one of the best. But when I'm sorry, when you look at overall numbers, Gary Clark's numbers are better than Calvin Johnson. And this is what leads me to believe that the Hall of Fame has turned into a popularity contest. It's not about what you've done. It's not about your achievements. It's more about who you are. It's funny as hell to me how guys join NFL Network and all of a sudden they Hall of Fame.
Did anybody from the Washington football team make the Hall of Fame?
No.
Okay, I understand. I understand your argument now.
Uh-oh.
Well, no. Well, you know what, 57? That's been my argument for about the past 10 years.
Well, y'all ain't had nobody go in the past 10 years.
Let me finish. And the fact that Lolly Dolly anybody weren't black and yellow was elected.
Oh, no, hey, look. Don't try to shut me up so you can criticize my team.
I'm just trying to shot back. All I'm doing is firing shots back. That's it.
Hey, bro. Hey, Kale.
And where you say? Because you
it ain't my fault
that Philly don't belong that six.
It ain't my fault that we got six people going to the Hall of Fame over the weekend, and y'all had none. None.
Nope. It's not at all. But if you can sit there and brag over their work, that nothingness that they put out, then, okay, I see that your standards aren't that high as far as the player goes. And
well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it just sounds like sour grapes to me because we're in the Hall of Fame. And you ain't. So it just sounds like sour grapes. You've been arguing about Brian Mitchell for the last 2 weeks.
No, he ain't there.
You started talking about him last week, Kale. You started talking about Brian Mitchell last week. Okay.
You know
all right, then.
You know,
I'm 60. I'm an old man, don't see now.
Yeah, you are. Because that whole idea did not come up until this week watching the ceremony. So that's how I know
okay.
I didn't talk about it last week.
All right, then. Hey, like I said, For the sake of keep moving, I'm gonna let it go. But you did talk about it last week.
Okay.
But, hey, but, look, let's talk about last week. How Pittsburgh could score to the second half of the game. Let's talk about that.
but excuse me. Didn't we win the game? Didn't we win the game? Even though the game don't matter, it was all Hall of Fame game.
Are you serious? Didn't we win?
He hasn't won since playing us week 11 last year.
Hey, look.
I can understand him happily claiming a preseason game, which nobody played.
Don't bring those little pea shooters to this. Don't bring those little pea shooters to this cannon fight, man. Y'all ain't got nothing.
Look. Well, look. Let me put this in the. Let me put this in the big gun and shoot it at. y'all were not able to put up any points in two quarters, and then you scored on the people that's still trying to make it. That's who you scored on.
Hey, look, that's a big dog right there.
Hey, look,
he even think what you're saying is crazy.
Now, the big dog is like, yeah, he right about that. He's right about Pittsburgh didn't put no points up until they was what we consider during the regular season. We consider them junk points.
Big boy, we out there evaluating talent. We evaluating talent. We're not looking at this as a standing or game. We evaluating talent, and we still won the game.
But you need talent to win the game, though, don't you?
What that's saying to me is the people that ain't going
to see the
field.
You need talent to win the game, right?
The people that ain't going to see the field this
year. Exactly, you need talent to win the game, and our talent won.
Thank you.
Hey, my man.
You know what?
We need talent to win the game.
He happy over the people that's going to be like, welcome to Walmart. How may we help you? Oh, that
is that paper plastic, sir?
You know what I'm saying? the paper or plastic people, man. You know, I told y'all it's all because he has not won. He hasn't had this winning experience with his team since last year. So we'll give him that, y'all. We'll be nice to him. You know.
Hey, look,
you know,
man.
You want daddy to pull the edges off the peanut butter sandwich.
I am glad for you, Kale. Hey, I am glad for you and any other Washington football team fans, because y'all's only thing you can hang your hat on is that you beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ain't that something? That's all you can go back. You can't holler we won a Super Bowl. You can't holler we won a conference championship. You can't even say none of that. None of that.
We won out.
When's the last time y'all won a
y'all went out to playoff the same round that we did. So,
exactly.
5-6-9-9-9-3-7-8-2. 5-6-3-9-9-9-3-7-8-2. You be right back. Pittsburgh. So.
Hey, Trick, the album, the bomb, man. Hold it up. Trick, what's up, baby? Come on, now you got to tell me. What about what people are saying that you can't do it again?
Hey, we going to let the band deal with this. In my A style, old school, Okay, shut up, Okay, what's up? 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 Right around in my brand new 99 Fogo and Volvo. I got a pocket full of beans, most of the weed ain't got no place to go though. But all my boys and boys, they know though. That's for sure though.
Are those
people
white jeans you're wearing?
Hell nah, ho, you know they polos. I've been used again, accused again. This time been rolling.
Okay, shut up. It took long enough to get there, but you know what I'm talking about. But, no, seriously, though, congratulations, 57. A win is a win. And, you know, because you were playing the team that I hate the most in the NFL, I'm going to give you all props on that. Because if you lost to them, you'd be catching hell right now. Serious. So, you know.
What was the Hall of Fame game, Kale? For real? What was the Hall of Fame game?
You claiming it. You're claiming it.
The only reason I bring it up is because y'all trying to throw it out there like, oh, look at Pittsburgh. Look at, hey, it's the Hall of Fame game. That's all it was.
Oh,
I know for y'all. Even if you play a little league team, it means a lot to y'all to win because y'all don't win. So it means a big thing to y'all, but it's just a Hall of Fame game to us guys.
That's amazing.
Well, if we do play a little league team, I bet you we'll be able to score.
Y'all It's a push. It'll be a push. If y'all play Cardoza, it might be a push.
Nah, man. Y'all
Vegas,
like
Vegas
playing.
Wouldn't even take that bet.
Y'all look like y'all was playing shooting Rams or something. You know what I'm talking about? I'm like, damn, when you look like your team was playing the shooting Rams. I'm like, damn, when they going to score? It looked like 2-a-day practice. I thought somebody was going to pull out a peanut butter jelly sandwich.
Don't y'all have a preseason game in the lingerie league this year?
Lingerie league.
Boy, I wish.
Okay.
I love the lingerie league. I wish
y'all might be able to score a couple of touchdowns on them.
Now see, 57, now you showing your age, man. You know?
Hey, I'm up there, Kale. I'm proud of mine, baby. 60, coming on 65. I'm proud of it.
Cut that old pervert stuff out, man. They see you be watching the John Wayne movie and stuff. I'm pretty sure John Wayne on, you know, or Sidney Poitier. Look who coming to dinner.
You can't talk. 100. You need 100 massages, masseuses. You can't talk.
I'm gonna need a couple of them too, man. Wait a minute, I'm gonna need to get a couple of them too. Yeah, that's my pleasure. Yeah, I need a couple too. I want all 57 of them. You damn skippy, you know what I'm talking about. And with the ones he don't take, he don't want, I'll take them too. I hear you. Well, can I bring up something about sports real quick?
Sure, go ahead. Can I bring up some about sports? You know what, it's funny as hell how he the one that take us off subject. Now, right, can I bring up some about sports? Can I bring it back? I love y'all. I love y'all. I love y'all. Bring it back. Sit your ass in the corner somewhere. What do y'all think about the What do y'all think about the Field of Dreams game Thursday?
Oh, that's going to be something special.
Yes, I think so too, bruh.
If you build it,
I think so too.
Mm.
Yep. You don't think so, Trey? The baseball game between the Yankees and who they playing?
The Sox.
Well, yeah, the White Sox.
The White Sox.
First of all, it would mean more if they were actually playing the Red Sox versus the Yankees because they have a natural hate for one another. Second, I'm like, baseball, why do y'all feel the need to do this? Why do they feel the need to play this game and make the Field of Dreams, which was a movie, real life? I mean, why do they feel the need to do that?
Right.
And that's just me.
Call
it ignorance on my part, but I just don't see it. I don't get it.
I ain't going to call it ignorance.
That's why I don't get it.
I like the symbolism of it. I like the fact that the movie is probably now 20 years old or older.
I like the way it was
back then when I watched the movie, and that's personally everybody got their own opinion. I just think it's a good thing, and I can't wait to see it Thursday. I can't wait to see it.
I mean, I can't wait to see it just because it's baseball.
So you want to go
Not just because
it's just baseball. I want to see how they bring them out. You know, do they bring them out of the cornfield like they did in the movie? I want to see all of that. You know, see how it's, you know.
I don't
you
know that.
They bring them out in the cornfield.
That's how they did in the movie.
Baseball don't need this, man.
I disagree.
Yeah,
I disagree.
Hey,
you know, everybody got their own opinion.
That's right. Everybody got their own opinion.
You know what?
And it's all
Lou, tell me how you feel about that, Lou. What do you think, Lou?
I don't see anything wrong with it. I mean, you know, it serves, you know, the purity of it, you know, without going, you know, like the way it is now. It's for the love of the game. But I think you're right. It should be the Yankees and the Red Sox because, you know, that's what I think is going to, you know, draw the crowd in. I mean, you know, Yankees and White Sox, although it's an old rivalry too, but I think it'd mean more if it was the Yankees and the Red Sox playing the Field of Dreams game.
Sometimes sports overdo things, and this just seems like one of those times to me. Just being overdone, it is not necessary. You know what I'm saying? Field of Dreams was a movie. It was a movie. It's not a historical event. It's not like on 9/11 when you know they you know have certain tribute, you know, it's nothing but a movie, and I know it was a good movie. I did watch it. It was a great movie, but that's all it was.
It's just fun, man. I mean. Ain't nobody gonna lose their job or go to heaven or hell because of this game. It's just fun. That's all it is. It's something fun to watch on a Thursday night, and a little symbolism, a little purity of the game. That's all it is.
That's
I mean, it ain't got to be statement or baseball trying to make a statement. It's just fun.
They are though. 57. Thursday night starts the second round of preseason games. So why on Thursday night will baseball decide that this is the type of tribute that they want to have? You're going to have more people home on the weekend with nothing to do. Why not make it Saturday or Sunday? No, you make it Thursday because you want to be in competition. What did I just ask you, 57? You're not going to watch football? You are not going to watch football to watch baseball.
Right, to watch baseball. And even though that's your team, but see, if it meant something, you would watch it. But as soon as that baseball, as soon as they say da-da-da-da, and then the football players start running out there, guess where your TV going? Click up, right down to it.
I know where mine going. I know where mine going. Big boy, you with me?
I know where all mine's going to be at. All
you know
the football games. Every football game
you know
I can watch, I'm watching every last one of them. Every last one of them. I got six TVs in here. It's going to be six games on.
Shoot, I can't wait to wear my gear on Thursday. What?
Oh, man.
What? Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm going to look like a regular season fool. And people going to call me all type of battles. But you know what? I could care less. It's my shit.
Hey,
it's my shit.
I'm going to have all my gear on. Sit right in
the house with
my cup, my hat, my coat, my jacket, everything. I'm going to have all my gear on like I'm at the game.
What? Exactly. Turn your head if you don't like it. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be me.
But I got to watch me some football first.
I love it too. You know.
What you think about the Russell Westbrook state
what's his name? Russell Wilson statement he made about his wide, is it a wide, defensive end? He said he really want him to, because they in a contract dispute. The guy in front office, they in a contract dispute. So he hasn't been there. He hasn't been practicing. And he was like, he's trying to get his con. He said he was the lowest paid person in his position on the team and in league. And he wanted a new contract because he's doing more than the other players. He's doing way more. And he deserves a new contract. And Russell Wilson went up there and stamped it for him. But I'm saying, how can you stamp something for somebody and you just was in hot water too? Like, they ain't really good on you either. Like, how you up there stamping something?
Yeah.
And if it was that's all that right. good and you stamping it, because I'm with Marcellus, that's what I heard Marcellus Wiley say. If it's really all that good and you stamping him and saying he good and he all that, in which he is, he's one of the top, you know, five players, why couldn't you do this behind closed doors? You ain't have to get up on a podium and tell everybody, yeah, y'all need to get this contract signed. Y'all need to get this deal done. You ain't have to do that. Now you put yourself and him in more high water.
Well,
for putting
just
the team
like,
on blast like that.
Just like Deshaun Watson in a recent statement said, I'm glad Como resigned, but there are still so many more sexual predators out there. The job is not done. Now, I've been with Deshaun Watson everybody knows. I've been with Deshaun Watson and behind him on the team is doing him wrong. Dude, you shouldn't have said nothing about the governor of New York. You shouldn't have said anything about that.
Can I put it in perspective? Let me put it in perspective. What he was because he was asked a lot of different questions, and they taking what he said out of content and they putting it into their own content. He was just asked, you know, how do you feel? I mean, because he knows how it felt to be accused, and he said, everybody needs whoever is wrong. If you're doing wrong, you need to be punished. Like, and it's not, and it's more than just him. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all looking at me. He says, y'all looking at me. Look at this man. This is a mayor of New York. And he has been wrong. That's what he was saying.
Been wrong just to say next question? Would he have been wrong just to say next question?
No.
Well,
no.
I believe wholeheartedly that's
he
what
should have said next question.
Yes. He shouldn't have. All of that, you know, it's sexual predators everywhere. No, dude, it's certain words that should not come out of your mouth when you're being accused of something.
Kale, if you've been accused of something, if you know in your heart that's not who you are, you advocate for that, you can't just stop saying certain words because you were accused. You just can't do that. Now you cower down, they're going to take the bite out you. What you going to stand on that? You don't have nothing to stand on. But if you truly wholeheartedly believe that, then I can't say that. But you do have another choice to say next question. Just like you said, I'd rather not answer that question at the time. Woo, whatever, move on. But he answered the question.
Right. And that's what I would have said. I would have just said next question, move on. There would have been I don't see any reason to gain for even acknowledging that. I just don't. Not when you're in the middle.
Right. It was a catch-22.
Right. You're talking about Deshaun Watson's comment over the governor in New York who stepped down. He basically, let me pull it up again.
He made a statement.
He was asked a question, and then he made a statement.
Damn.
I'm wondering why they even asked him about that.
Exactly. Thank you. Like, why are you asking him the question?
Is he from New York?
It's a catch 22 anyway. Care about the reading. Care about the reading.
He said, hold on, y'all. Here you go. Okay. I'm glad Governor Cuomo resigned, but there are still so many more sexual predators out there. The job is not done. The words of Deshaun Watson. Now, like Teresa said, we don't know if they're just taking his words out of context. You know, we don't know. But what we do know, being who you are, and in the situation that you're in, it would have just been best to say, next question. Next question. And they're going to, Big Boy, you say, why did they even ask them that? Because it's the media. We know for a fact, man, that's what they do. They flip off, that's their pleasure. Seriously.
That's a question that Deshaun Watson should have asked himself. Why are they asking me about what's going on in New York and I'm representing Texas?
Yeah.
Why are they asking me about that? That should be a red flag for me to say, oh, no comment.
It didn't matter what he said, Big Boy. At that point, it didn't matter what the question was already out there. So it didn't matter if he answered the question or if he didn't answer the question, because they was going to analyze it and scope it and pick through it and say, well, he didn't answer the question. I wonder why he didn't answer the question. He didn't answer the question because he must feel like he's one of those predators.
Yeah, but
you know what I'm saying?
That's all they can say if he don't give them nothing to talk about. All they can say is, why didn't he?
But I guess that's what he was trying to avoid, the proverbial question is, like, why is the question even being asked, like 57 said? Why is the question being asked? I mean, Big Boy said, why is the question being asked to a person that don't even live or play in New York?
Because I'll be like, why am I going to answer that? That has nothing to do. Ask me how I think New York Giants are going to do. Ask me how I think the Jets are going to do. You know what I'm saying? Don't ask me about the governor. I'm not in politics. I'm in sports. I'm
not even trying to get in.
Why was he answering questions anyway?
That's my point.
So now the Deshaun Watson practice, he has not been practicing the last five practices. He has not practiced. So by the time the game starts, he's not in game shape. So they're saying he's not probably going to play the preseason for the Texans. So they're still at this moment trying to get rid of him, like trying to trade him or do whatever they can do, whatever. And I'm saying, when the man first asked to be traded, y'all put all this gook on the man's name, and now y'all don't even want to play him? What I'm talking about right there. Like that part.
Deshaun Watson is going to get his trade and go somewhere else and shine. That's my prediction. He's going to get his trade, and he's going to go somewhere else and shine. Because Houston, they want something else right now.
Yeah.
They want something else. The media on what they've been on. If they can bring a negative point out and harp on that, that's how they sell what they sell. That's their product. Controversy. That's their product. The media going to do what they do. My thing is, Deshaun Watson and his team got to be savvy enough to know, hey, look, I can either bring up my value or I can bring my value down.
Right.
And it's all about the response. They already know what he can do on the field. They already know that. they trying to see where this man at in his age.
Yeah.
And him and his team got to be smart enough to say, all right, it's something that's just not worth responding to. Responsibility to the media under your contract is to be available for an interview. But they can't tell you what to say in that interview. They can't tell you what not to say.
Marshawn Lynch. Marshawn Lynch from here on out.
Marshawn Lynch. Hey, look.
Yeah.
He did that thing beautifully.
He did that thing with perfection.
I'm just here so I won't get fined. Next question. Exactly. I'm fulfilling my obligation. So y'all can't find me. Y'all can't take none of my money.
Yeah.
I'm going to fulfill
my
obligation.
And he would get up there and talk about anything. He didn't even care. He was talking about Skittles.
Right.
He didn't care.
Skittles, yeah.
He asked him a question. He didn't talk about Skittles.
I like Skittles, the lime green.
Yeah.
Hey, look, Dexter Manley is the one that got this started. That year that they went to the Super Bowl and Dexter did not want to answer any questions, they made him answer questions. So all he did was come out there every day and say, no comment, no comment.
Do you know
they were
why?
Trying to trip Dexter up because he hadn't had, his education wasn't the way they wanted it to be.
They were making statements on Dexter's lack of education.
Yes.
They were the media that week brought out the fact that Dexter was pushed through high school because he was a ball player, pushed through college because he was a ball player, and he didn't have the IQ that most had. And
he
so when it came time, and he couldn't read them. So when it came time to do that post game interview, 67, you are absolutely right. Dexter, next question. It was the only thing that he would provide them. And then they still talked about that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's the
code
22. Yeah,
they're gonna talk about it. It's designed to trip you up. That's too down to that. Yeah. So, you know, but we're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, I want you to bring that Russell Wilson situation back out, please. If you don't mind. We'll be right back. 563-999-3782. 563-999-3782.
Life is an interesting journey. You never know where it'll take you. Peaks and valleys, twists and turns. You can get the surprise of your life.
I can't. I don't know why. I'm picking all the songs for introduction tonight, y'all. That ain't even one out. There we go.
Took you long enough.
Everybody get high.
Ladies, while you pose the greatest, oh, his jaw is moving me.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back. Ms. Treece, tell me that statement again that Russell Wilson made, please.
Okay, so he was asked about his colleague, Dwayne Brown, for holding out for a new deal. Russell Wilson made it clear that it's pretty significant due to how good Dwayne is. That the Seahawks need to figure things out as far as his contract goes. He went on to say, now having Dwayne Brown out there is a pretty significant deal, but he thinks that Dwayne is one of the best tackles there is. There's no argument in that. He said he really needs them, meaning the Seahawks, to figure it out, meaning his contract. He went on to say.
I thought it was taboo to talk about another player's money. Especially when you, as the quarterback, have been receiving more than anybody for years now. Am I wrong?
Well, for the last 9 years that Russell Wilson has been in the league, he has been tackled the most out of all quarterbacks. He has been tackled far more than any other quarterback. And he's saying if he don't have Dwayne out there to at least help him on that side, it's going to be way more.
Well,
so he's not talking against his money. No,
he's talking up his money. He took his money up.
Yeah, he's talking up his money.
Yeah, he's talking his money up.
Well, that's what you're not supposed to talk up or down about somebody else's money. That's their money. And when you went in there to negotiate with the Seahawks, the people that you have all this advice for, how many times did you say, you know what, so y'all can pay my tackle, I'm going to go ahead and take $6 million less? Has that been said? Is that the thing? No, you've gotten all you can get for yourself. And now you're telling us how to allocate our money to the players around you? And let's not forget, I like Russell Wilson. I honestly do. But he is a quarterback that holds the ball, and the play is never dead with his scrambling. So you're going to get tackled when you're holding the ball longer than other quarterbacks are. Am I wrong here? Help me out.
You're
not wrong.
Oh.
I feel like
I'm sorry, you had to
be that extra 5 or 6 seconds. I mean, anything liable to happen, fumble, tackle, knocking out your, anything can happen those little minutes. But luckily for him, it's always come out to be a good thing because he knows how to scramble in the pocket. Any normal person would have been tackled, the ball fumbled. Anything, ran back in for a touchdown. It could be a number of things can happen. But they don't. It normally happens to him. Normally good things happen for him when he has to scramble like that.
You hear Luke? Yeah. Come on, Luke. What do you think about this statement made by Russell Wilson?
Yeah, I don't know how the Wizards are going to do with it. I don't know this year, to be honest with you, because he was part of it, and I don't know what Beal's going to do alone without him. So there might be a lost cause. I'm going to be honest with you about that. The Wizards had a secret. The Wizards had a weapon to get in, and now that weapon is gone.
We're talking about the Seahawks.
Sorry, I was distracted earlier, so I couldn't get the whole question.
Yeah, Russell Wilson made a statement about Dwayne Brown, his left tackle. He said he needs him to stay. He needs the Seahawks to find a way to get the contract done. He's talking, he's talking his money up. It seems like.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a problem. I mean, the Seahawks are not as dominant as they once were. And, I don't know. But Wilson, you know, got a big mouth. You know, he's one of the reasons why I think the Seahawks are just like, you know, not one of my favorite teams. I mean, because they got, you know, a bunch of ego problems as well ever since they won that Super Bowl. I'm not crazy about myself at all.
Some people might say losing that Super Bowl put things in perspective for them. You know?
Yeah.
He hasn't responded. He's listening, but he hasn't responded. Go ahead, big boy.
Hey, look, let me interject and say this. Look, Russell Wilson is thinking about his career and his money. If he got somebody in mind that's going to protect that blind side, he's going to advocate for him.
Yeah.
He can't put him in there because that man going to make it so I can do what I got to do.
Right.
Right.
So you know, he coming from the perspective of from the lens of a player. You know what I'm saying?
But can I say this to you, big boy? Because
go ahead, Mom.
So he advocated for him, and I love it. I love that you advocating for him, right? Because there's enough people, you know, down in us as a human race anyway, trying to get in our pocket.
Right.
So I love that he doing that. But if they sign Dwayne Brown, that's it. That's it for this. So he don't get the backup that he need. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, he don't get no other nothing. That's just what it is.
But I'm saying
so
he
has to be content with that.
They,
and so that's why I say
he must feel like they already have that. He must feel like they already have that backup signed. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
He like, okay, we got somebody on the roster already that can come in and play the position.
Okay.
But this man is going to play it better.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, I want him. We got this dude right here on the side, and we're going to, you know, he's going to play his position.
Okay.
He's going to hold tight. If something happens to the man that I'm advocating for, then, yeah, he can come in and he can do the job. He's not going to do it like the man I'm advocating for. But he's going to do it well enough so I can do what I got to.
Next man up, you mean.
Exactly. Oh, sum it up. You sum it up perfectly.
I got to go.
Next man
up. Okay. I can go with that.
Hey, sis.
What's that?
To me, as long as he didn't try to tell them how much money they should be paying the guy, if all he's saying is we need him, they need to work the contract out. Every other quarterback in the league does that. Brady did it. Brady got the people down there that he wanted. Nobody said a thing. As a matter of fact, everybody applauded Brady for doing it the way he wanted to do it.
Right.
But,
so what's wrong with Russell Wilson saying, I need that left tackle paid. I need him here because, matter of fact, on the offensive line, your left tackle, really, for a right-handed quarterback, is the most important guy out there.
But, 57, you're forgetting one point about Brady. Brady said these things and always took discounts.
I'm sorry, say it again.
He always took discounts.
So, but... If you
not just
Russell
Brady.
Wilson, but what I'm saying, if you know Russell Wilson, discount isn't in his vocabulary. Discount is not a word that he uses. No, you're going to pay me.
What's wrong with that? The NFL robs you of everything. And they dog you your whole career, and when it's at the end of your career, they kick you to the side. Just because he didn't say, okay, I'm going to give up some. Why should I give up some of my money? You know what we need just as well as I know what we need. I'm talking about as far as the owners go. Why should I give up my money?
If I pay you what you know what I'm saying, what you rightfully deserve, right?
which I don't have a problem with. If I'm an owner, I don't have a problem with that. But just know I'm paying you, and I look, I'm at the salary cap, boo.
I'm with you, Tree.
I can't give you nothing else but what we got on the team. So whatever we got on the team, you need to be content with it. You need to close your mouth at the press conference.
Uh-oh.
You need to be quiet.
Yep.
You need to stop advocating. You need to stop doing all this other extra activity, curriculum activities that you're doing. You need to sit down and be quiet.
I agree with you on that.
The best. Sit down. Be humble.
Be humble. Yes.
But I just don't think. You know, I mean, you can do what you want to do, but if it was me, I'm not giving up none of my money when you know we all in this together. Why I gotta take a pay cut so you can sign this guy and sign that guy when you know what you got on the team and you know how to restructure your contracts without me having to take a cut?
Let me tell you why, 57, and you don't even got to do it all the time. You get out of your whole career, right, from the rookie season until you – retire most of the quarterbacks, right? We're talking about quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get at least two your increases on your deal, right?
Right.
Contract, new deals. So the first contract, right, we trying to win a Super Bowl. You know you got a good team with the woo-woo-woo. What's wrong with taking the pay cut? Because you know the next time when they come around, I ain't doing it. So you at one of those three stops, you got to take a cut somewhere. In order for everybody to eat and everybody to go home full, meaning the championship. You got to take a pay cut. You have to so everybody else can eat too. You can't be the only one on the team eating because if you're the only one on the team eating, I ain't blocking for you.
Well, I guess we're supposed to go feel that way.
You're one of those people that's for your own self.
Sometimes you guys got to wait that night.
We wanted to hear the opinion of the Seahawks fan. He said, I think it's pretty cool that he spoke up for his guy. He has a voice to use, so he used it. Everyone has a voice. And he's not doing what some people in power do and say nothing. You're absolutely right, D. But right, where do you think this money? Where is Seahawks supposed to get this money from?
Thank you.
Where are the Seahawks supposed to get money from?
No, they got the money, Kale.
They got the money.
But they got the money. But the only thing is, they need like two more players for their roster. Like they need to pay two more players defense.
A full team.
So
they need
you're not
gonna
be able to do that if they give this man the max contract. Because that's what he wants.
They got ways of restructuring contracts. Not restructuring contracts. They got ways of doing contracts where they can give everybody their money and they ain't got to cut nobody's money. They've done it before. They did it for number 22 in Dallas. You know that boy, Emmitt Smith. They did it for him. Gave him a lump sum at one big time. They know
but
how
listen,
to do it.
They
know how to do it.
We're talking about Dallas.
But the same thing that works for anybody else can work.
Nah.
See, these owners got money. Anytime you can pay a guy $150 million, you
got
money. Okay. Dog. All right.
Emmitt Smith, the guy that you just named, finished his career as the Arizona Cardinals because Dallas didn't want to pay him. They didn't want to honor the contract that they
No, that wasn't it. It was time for him to get a new contract, and they didn't want him. That's what happened. He was at the end of his contract, and they didn't want him no more, and he went to Arizona.
Yeah. Okay. But he ended his career in Arizona.
So. Yeah, he did. But it wasn't because they didn't honor the contract. He played out his contract with Dallas.
It was a money move. That's the point. It was a money move.
Of course, it's always a money move.
It's always a money move when you get to the office, because you're thinking about what that man did for that organization. You know what I'm saying?
That's why people don't win championships, because they go on that loyalty shit. Excuse me, stuff.
Yeah. Hey, look. 57.
Well, as a fan, his we can
afford it. Loyalty is good. It's about who you loyal to. You know what I'm saying?
You're loyal to your team. You're loyal to your team. That's who you're loyal to. If a player is not producing, you get rid of it. If a coach ain't producing, you get rid of it.
Your team could change the next season. You got to be loyal to yourself.
We all know how 57 feel about that one.
Okay.
You have to be loyal to yourself.
Everybody must go. He 57 had a 5 seed.
Everybody, you gotta go.
Hey, man, y'all crazy.
Congratulations.
Yo. Was giving out eviction notices, boy.
Congratulations on y'all not lost last Thursday.
Huh?
Congratulations on y'all not lost last Thursday.
I caught that backhanded insult, bro.
That was just for you, bro.
No problem, man. Look, I hope everybody on here, and I feel like it do from the way we've been talking, got thick skin for the football season, because I'm going to give it to you.
I think you're going to take more than you give it.
You know what?
Fifty-seven is gonna be baiting y'all in. Do not fall for the banana in the tailpipe. I'm telling y'all that right now.
Hey, well, I'm gonna tell y'all.
57 doing what I like word, to do.
My safe word is Alaska. My safe word is Alaska. So when you get the effing around with me and I say Alaska, don't be surprised when you mute.
I thought your safe word was mute. Huh?
Hey, you get me.
Okay, that means if he tell you he about to mute you, that means you on your way, buddy.
Yeah, well, I really don't get that warning. I just get muted.
I'm joking.
What'd you say? Are you a Huckleberry? Okay.
Yeah. Every show. I'm your Huckleberry.
I cannot with him. That man is crazy.
Right.
You know it's true, Tree. I was going to ask when we came back from the last one, did everybody get muted like I did, or was it just me?
No, I got muted.
To be honest, I was trying to find who had that damn dog in the background. So everybody.
It wasn't me.
Yes. I can't feed
wasn't
nothing
me.
That big.
No.
You know, Debo said they pay who they want to pay. The business going to do what's best for itself, and it is. That's no surprise.
Yeah, true that.
If you want to be a successful business, you have to thank me first. You know.
Yes, sir.
Take myself, for example, with the electrical work, you know, my company. I used to want to help young men and bring young men in. And once it seemed like all of them wanted to get face tattoos and all of that going on, you know, and was scaring my customers, I had to make a business decision. You know, people start pulling me to the side and saying, do you really have to bring that person with you? Those tattoos get, and I'm talking about some of the nicest young men you ever want to meet. Falling around with those tattoos on their face, put them in a camera. It's stereotype. These customers pay good. So I'm not going to give up my money for you.
That's true.
We've given up so much in our society for individuality. Everybody got to be able to do their own thing. If they can't, then we're doing them wrong. But sometimes, like you said, when it comes to your money, your customers don't want to see this. So, you know, if you can't conform, then I got to let you go. And then you're a bad guy. But I'm trying to help you make money, and you can't understand it.
Money is the one thing that every man, woman, child has in common.
Yep.
Everything we want, everything we do, everything we eat, drink, it requires money.
You can say,
you know, I've heard the younger generation say, well, you a sellout. You a sellout. You won't stand behind it. Listen, talk to me after you live on this earth 5,000 days. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
You ain't lived 5,000 days, you won't understand where I'm coming from.
Right. You go through some life shattering stuff and still be standing and sane, and then come back and talk to me.
Right.
Okay.
Right. That's true.
So I say that to say, Russell Wilson, mind your business, bro. Mind your business, because if they come to you, if they come to you and tell you, okay, in order to make up his salary, we're gonna need to take about $5-6 million off of yours. You ain't going for that.
Right.
You ain't going for that. First thing you're gonna say off your mouth, okay, let's see what the other dude got. Come on, man. So if your heart ain't in it, watch him out.
That is so true.
Well, Russell Wilson been in the league now for what? 13 years? 14?
13.
Okay. He ain't gonna give up no money.
You said what?
Which one? Who you talking to?
Debo said he didn't tell MJ to mind his business when he spoke on Pippen money. When did Michael Jordan speak on Pippen money? Help me understand that, y'all.
I don't ever remember him ever saying anything about Pippen's money. Michael was only making $3 million a year before he left and went to baseball. They didn't really pay Michael until he came back, and they started paying him in lump sums. But why would he speak on Pippen's money when he didn't even speak on his own?
Oh, he said on the document.
Afterwards.
Yeah, they were done playing. They were finished. So.
Oh, okay.
Russell Wilson talking about the current, the right now. Michael Jordan was talking about back then.
I thought he was saying that Michael said something while they were playing.
Right.
My bad.
And he trying to bust me out talking about the go see the special again. Boy.
Russell been in there for 14 years, y'all. 14 instead of 13. 14? Sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
I really couldn't remember. I've been smoking Marlboros again, so I couldn't remember.
You know what? On that note, y'all.
What in the world just happened?
I love y'all, man. I love all y'all, man.
I swear I do.
Real talk. Y'all make this thing here work, man. Seriously, man.
Yeah.
You know. Big Sammy, his Marlboros. Big Boy, his thing. Lou, his thing. Debo, his thing. Trees, her thing. Richie Cup, who never says anything, she just listens in. Her thing is everybody, man. Debo said, I don't care. Mind your business. Don't speak on no man. Oh, man. That's a beautiful way to end this. That mind your business. Don't speak on nobody. That'll work. Miss T, take us out, man.
Well, you guys know I love you guys. Big Boy, thanks for showing your face. Hearing your voice. Lou, 57. My main man, Kale's in the building. Debo on the text. We love you guys. I promise y'all, we love y'all. And we miss y'all.
you know, when we're not talking to y'all. We really, really miss y'all. So until Thursday at 5 p.m. on this same station, 563-999-3782, we will be back Thursday, sharp. I love you guys today more than yesterday, but not as much as tomorrow. See you guys on Thursday. Peace.
Don't forget, Thursday, we're making our bid for the game, the upcoming preseason game. We're going to run it down, y'all, just as a practice, just to see how we go. But we're trying to come back as strong this year as we went out last year. All right.
And if you got me, dawg, okay. You better out me, dawg. Oh. I'm so lost lightning, bruh. Oh. Don't wanna fight me, bruh. Oh. I'm fast as lightning, bruh. You better use your Nike, bruh. Yeah. You know you don't like me, cuz. Yeah. Your bitch most like me, cuz. Yeah. She see me on them jugs. Yeah. In front of every club. Oh. I be on door, I'm bugged. Gave every hoe a hug. Niggas don't show me mugs. Cause you don't know I got a key. Bout a three when I jerk, shout and jerk. Victor on the pinky ring just to make my fist glow. Ay. Yeah, bitches get low, ay. Cause I get dough. Ay. So what, I'm rich, ho, I still a full of kick dough. What you talking shit for? I gotta run and get folk. Got you a yelling, I thought you pull out a gun and hit folk. But you's a scary dude, okay. Believe I bury few, okay. Just keep it very cool, okay. But we will bury you. Oh. See all that attitude, oh. Unnecessary dude. Never carry two, not even swery cue. You got these people fooled. Who see you on the two? Whatever, try to groove. Just see you on the two.
Talking to I got a key, about a three, when I jerk, shout and jerk.